Well, now to the warning that the battle for control of the internet has reached a critical turning point and that the Australian government needs to get involved. Fergus Hanson is an Australian foreign policy and internet analyst now at the Brookings Institution, and he's just released a new book. It's called Internet Wars: The Struggle for Power in the 21st Century, and he spoke to me about it from Washington. Fergus Hanson, you're right that those who say the internet is so vast that it's beyond the control of government would be wrong. Why? Who is trying to control it and how hard are they fighting?
Well, I think there are many people trying to control the internet. It has become the world's first universal network and it's become one of the most valuable pieces of international real estate. And as a consequence of that, it's incredibly important for exerting power. So we have governments working very hard to control the underlying architecture of the internet. That is because it offers so many benefits in terms of conducting espionage, for cyber warfare, and for, if you're an authoritarian state, for monitoring and controlling your population. For companies, there is a race on to try and control the economic choke points of the internet, to try and get monopoly control of the key portals through which the trade and finance around the world is conducted. And for people, there is this newfound power that is arriving through the internet. It's the first time that people are able to aggregate their voices outside traditional structures like trade unions or political parties. And there's an effort to try and maintain that newfound power in spite of pushback from different political forces.
Well, looking first at industrial and military espionage, you quote a former FBI intelligence agent who says he's awestruck by the Chinese campaign against the West. What is the scale of it?
It's happening across a range of different fronts. There is political espionage, there's economic espionage, and there's military espionage. And the scale on all of those fronts, I think, is breathtaking. On the economic front, that's the issue where we saw President Xi Jinping and Barack Obama last month reaching agreement to cease state-backed economic cyber espionage because it's reached the point where the former NSA director was describing it as leading to the greatest wealth transfer in human history.
So, and that's because of the stealing of the patents?
Yes, it's basically the theft of intellectual property from Western countries. It's not just happening in the United States, it's very much happening here in Australia as well. The very first cyber threat report released earlier this year in Australia reported that 11,000 Australian companies had been assisted from cyber attacks that they'd experienced. And that was really an underestimate because it involves voluntary reporting. And many companies are unaware that they're having their intellectual property stolen.
So is the real fear that we don't know what they've taken?
In some cases it is, but there's many cases in the United States where companies, for example, have had their intellectual property stolen. A new company has been set up, for example, in China replicating that IP, and they've been able to bring the product to market quicker and cheaper than the American company that had invested all the money in the R&D and basically destroy the American company.
Is the Chinese espionage any worse than the US spying that was revealed by Edward Snowden?
I think that there's a distinction between, on the Chinese side, there's state-backed theft from the West to help state-owned companies in countries like China. So it's a different type of espionage than we've seen before. What the Snowden leaks, I think, revealed was political espionage, spying on other countries to find out their negotiating positions, amongst other things. But we didn't see strong evidence that the United States was stealing intellectual property.
You talk about the attempts by China and other nation states to control the architecture of the internet. How much damage have the Snowden revelations about the extent of US government spying and surveillance done to the US case for an open internet?
I think it has certainly done considerable damage. In terms of the open internet, there has been some pushback from that. We've seen changes in the German procurement processes, for example. We've seen European countries even more concerned about where data is stored. But when it ultimately comes down to who should be the custodian of the internet, I think that the challenge that all countries interested in preserving free speech and human rights on the internet, what it boils down to is there a better custodian than the United States? And I think the answer to that is no.
Aren't critics of the US right, though, to question not just the dominance of the US government, but the dominance of US-based tech companies like Google, which you talked about economic choke points? They dominate those choke points.
Well, what is developing here is a very unusual situation where, even though we've seen a huge blossoming and blooming of companies that operate on the internet, the key choke points are really controlled at the moment by just a handful of companies. So we see Google dominating search. We see Facebook dominating social, Amazon dominating an online marketplace. Usual questions about competition, I think, have to be given extra scrutiny because these companies have so much power in shaping the information that we receive.
You warn that we're now at a critical turning point. What are the markers of this turning point? What's at stake if we don't act now to try to shape the future of the internet?
It really is an incredible turning point. On the economic front, the theft of Western IP is completely unsustainable. If we keep on going down the path of having countries thieving our IP on such an unprecedented scale, then we're going to start seeing barriers erected on the internet, what's called a balkanization of the internet, where you have siloed national internets or countries trying to protect themselves from this theft by imposing firewalls between, essentially breaking the global internet down into national segment internets. You could have other proposals have been to allow companies to go on the offensive and attack back. Any way that plays out, it looks very messy. In the area of cyber warfare, there are no clear rules of the road of how states should respond. So we have Iran launching cyber attacks into the United States. We have North Korea attacking Sony Pictures and preventing the release of a movie, The Interview, in America, effectively censoring the American people. In the economic realm, we've got a rapid move towards monopoly control of key economic choke points. That is going to crush the dynamism of the internet. It's going to severely affect our human rights, particularly issues around free speech. And finally, there's the issue of control of the internet's architecture. There's a big open question at the moment about who is going to be running these key governing bodies. And Australia and other states really have to be at the centre of those discussions.
So what sort of action are you advocating? Are you calling for some form of government regulation?
Well, I think the Australian government and other governments have to engage in these issues in a much more rigorous way. The government has to take a role in informing companies about the extent to which their intellectual property is being stolen and to set minimum standards that those companies have to meet so it's harder and more costly for foreign countries to steal that information. And Australia should have a voice, particularly because a country like Australia, because of its geographic isolation, is so dependent on the internet.
You sound like you are calling for at least some government regulation of the net. The previous Australian government tried to put a filter on the internet and failed. Is it really possible to regulate the net?
I'm not calling for regulation of the internet. I'm calling for the government to engage in some of these key debates surrounding the internet and play a role in the debates around who controls the internet's underlying architecture. Those are the sort of debates I think Australia needs to play a very active role in.
What's your greatest fear if we don't recognise what's at stake in this battle for the internet?
In a worst-case scenario, we'll end up with an internet that looks nothing like the internet that we have today. The dynamism, the excitement, the opportunity will be severely eroded. We could ultimately have a serious erosion of online free speech and other human rights.
That's Fergus Hanson, a fellow at the Brookings Institution. His new book is Internet Wars, The Struggle for Power in the 21st Century. And you can hear the full interview on our website.